the processional hymn 274, omitting verses 3 and 4. Light's glittering morn bedecks the sky.
Welcome to our service on this fifth Sunday of Easter. We follow the order of Holy Communion, beginning with the opening reading on page 201. Christ is risen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Resurrection of your Son, overcame the old order of sin and death to make all things new in him. Grant that we, being dead to sin and alive to you in Jesus Christ, may reign with him in glory, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be praise and honor, glory and might, now and in all eternity. Page 121, we sing the traditional form of the Easter anthems.
Thank you. The epistle is from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7, beginning at verse 55. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. He gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout, all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he died. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gradual hymn number 626, Set Your Troubled Hearts at Rest.
Hear the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. John, chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. He who comes to the Father, no one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father, how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwelleth in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater work than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Some words from today's Gospel. St. John chapter 14, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Why, I wonder, should we be troubled? Why should we be reassured by what Jesus says? A house, a place, and a way help us to think about what Jesus is saying to us. In my Father's house, says Jesus, in the second verse of that chapter from St. John. The word John uses to record the words of Jesus is oikia. It is the word for an ordinary household. It gives us a very different picture from words like kingdom or heaven. Instead of suggesting that God's dwelling place is a vast, impersonal space, house gives us a picture that suggests something warm and welcoming. When we think of a house, we think of somewhere with a door where someone will meet us. We think of a householder welcoming guests. We think of friendly faces in the rooms. This is a big house, says Jesus, for there are many dwelling places. There is space for everyone who wants to be there. Plenty of room for guests who accept the invitation. In my Father's house, what picture does that give us of God? Does it not create an image of God as a genuinely fatherly figure, as someone waiting to hug his children as they arrive home? It gives us a picture of God very far removed from the remote and terrifying figure in the Old Testament. Is this how we see God, as someone standing at the door of his house? God's house is a place where God waits for us. Verses 2 to 3 say, if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus speaking to the disciples does so in a personal way. For you, he says. Jesus is saying to them that the place in God's house comes not from belonging to a particular people, tribe, or nation. It comes from the faith into which they have been born. It comes from accepting his invitation to join him in that house. This would have been disturbing to the people who were attached to the old traditions. This would have gone against their beliefs that being part of God's covenant people meant they would have a place with God. Jesus is challenging all that people had believed about their faith. A place for you is a challenge to us, to you and me. Jesus speaks to us personally. He doesn't ask, how does your church respond? He doesn't ask, how does your family respond? He asks, how do you respond? This place is being offered to us for us to accept or reject. No one else can accept our place for us. If Jesus has prepared a place for us, what does it say about our attitude toward him if we do not choose to accept that place? How do we see Jesus? A house, a place, and a way. Jesus is enigmatic in verse 4. He tells the disciples, and you know the way to the place where I am going. The ever pragmatic Thomas asks the question that the other disciples would have been thinking. Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? The reply that Jesus gives has become one of the best known verses of Scripture. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way. It is an entirely new way of understanding faith. Following Jesus is not about a religion with all its rules. It is about a relationship with him. The disciples would have learned over the time that they had spent with him that following Jesus was not about being part of a religious tradition. It was about a whole way of life. When Jesus said, I am the way, he is saying that the old ways are past, that there is now only one way. I am the way challenges us about our own faith. Do we see Jesus in the way he teaches his disciples as the only way to reach the place prepared for us in God's house? Or do we see Jesus as an option, someone whom we take or leave as we please? How seriously do we take Jesus if we ignore his claim that he is the way, the truth, and the life? C.S. Lewis once suggested that Jesus was mad, or he was bad, or he was God. If we do not believe Jesus to be the way, the truth, and the life, and we are saying that he was mad or that he was bad, because given the claim that Jesus was making, there really are no other options. A house, a place and a way. Challenge to us about our own faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Page 205, we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Risen and reigning Lord, assure our troubled hearts that you have gone to prepare a place for us, so that where you are, we may be also. You alone are the way, the truth, and by whom the Father comes to us, so that through you we have seen him and know him. Lord, in your mercy, risen and reigning Lord, how often we are like Thomas, questioning your Son Jesus whilst thinking that we're on our own to work things out. Help us to listen to your promises, to receive your assurances, to let you remove troubles from our hearts. And may we always remember your constant presence with us. We pray for this diocese and for David, our bishop. We pray for our local churches, the cornerstones of our communities, as they strive to reach out to those with your good news. We pray for the General Synod of the Church of Ireland meeting this week in Newcastle, and for Archbishop John Madole and the various other bishops who shall preside. Lord, in your mercy, risen and reigning Lord, we pray for those people of the world featured
in the news, the victims of accident or war, disease or violence, greed and natural disasters. We pray for hope as we continue to pray for peace in Ukraine, throughout the Middle East, and in Sudan, and all other countries torn apart by senseless violence. Lord, in your mercy, risen and reigning Lord, we pray for those that are discerning a role within your church during this season of annual reporting and meetings. We also hold our schools in our prayers as they prepare for transfer tests. Lord, in your mercy, risen and reigning Lord, whose touch alone could heal the sick, hear our prayers for your servants who are ill, as we ask for your help and mercy to restore them to health. Lord, in your mercy, risen and reigning Lord, we pray for those whose hearts have been saddened by the death of someone close and dear to them, for members of our families who have died and whose anniversary we recall. Help us to experience the comfort of the Holy Spirit within us and the fellowship of the church family around us until we are reunited once more in that family house which is your heavenly kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, risen and reigning Lord, we thank you for showing us the way in human terms that we find easier to understand and which helps us to recognize all the wonderful things in your world for which we should be grateful. So merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And as our Savior Christ has commanded and taught us, so we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful. Trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great presence. We are not worthy so much as together.
Thank you. peace of the Lord be always with you.
Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. We follow the first communion prayer on page 209. At the appropriate time, the word.
Singing.
You made us in your own image. Male and female, you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. You made there the one complete and all sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. The institute, and in this holy gospel, commanded us to continue the perpetual memory of this precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. Accept through him our great high priest this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, and as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in him, in the unity of
all honor and glory to the Son of God.
Forever and ever.
Amen. Eternal God, in word and sacrament, we proclaim your truth in Jesus Christ and share his life. In his strength, may we ever walk in his way, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Almighty God, coming Friday evening, the Larchfield Community Association are holding a barbecue at Legacy Orange Hall, Crossroads. And all are welcome. It's at 8 o'clock, and admission is £15. Sunday next, the sixth Sunday of Easter, Rogation Sunday, at 10 a.m., family service to mark the beginning of Christian A Week. And the service will be followed by light refreshments in the parochial hall, in support, of course, of Christian A. The recessional hymn 593, omitting verse 3, O Jesus, I have promised to serve.